Let's just read a portion of the scriptures. I want to just say something briefly. And I don't know whether I will pray or not. I just want to say something briefly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me just start from verse 15. Although where we are going is before that, I'm just looking for where we can get into the flow. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another. And they seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. This was Paul admonishing the Thessalonians. And he said, rejoice always. Another instruction, pray without ceasing. Another instruction, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He now said, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, what I really want from here is verse 17, in which he says, pray without ceasing. All right? Can you turn to somebody and say, pray without ceasing? To cease means to stop. To cease means to discontinue. Which other word can we use? That is, pray without stopping. Pray without discontinuing the exercise. Pray without getting yourself, allowing yourself to be discouraged or weary. All right, again, let's read them. Don't just keep something there, and then let's go back to that one we quote from all the time, Luke chapter 18. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it said again in verse 1, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. And then he said, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And then, of course, you know the things that happened in verses 4 and 5. And he now said in verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Please say day and night. Day and night. Now notice something. He said his elect, they are supposed to cry to him day and night. And will he delay long over them? And he said, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That is, the most important thing is faith, all right, in the things that they are doing. The most important thing there is that they have faith in God, and that produces a continual lifestyle of prayer, or a lifestyle of continual prayer. So I was saying that, okay, if you read from verse 9, you see that he began to talk about the basis upon which we pray. Let me just read that just to give you some completeness. And he also told us, let's just read from verse 9. And he also told us this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. He said, two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. And the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like the other people. And he described all the evils. He now described the things that he did. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of everything that I get. All right. And then the other man, the tax gatherer, standing away some distance, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord now said in verse 14, and I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Now, there are two things I just want to bring. A number of things I want to bring out from here, but from the two scriptures we have read, all right, you see something in both of them. One, in that first Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 17, it says we should do what? Pray without ceasing. That we should pray without stopping. I want to just encourage us again, because the more I think about it, the more I realize, and you know, I say it once in a while, that is one thing that we have as Christians. All right? their ability to pray. Do you follow my point? There are times I settle down and I ask myself that I just, in quote now, worry for people. That if you don't go to church, you understand what I'm saying? You're not a believer. Then what do you do when you have trouble? I don't know whether you get my point. How do you handle the difficult issues in your life? All right? Because there will be times you'll be in a very tight corner. Okay? What do you do? I mean, you know, you know what I mean by worry now? I wonder for people, like, if I have to preach to somebody now, it's not to come to our church, otherwise you will die and go to hell. That's not even the issue. The issue that when hell comes upon you before you die, what do you do? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, they say dying and going to hell. Thank God for that, all right? But what I mean is that life often presents hell to you. What do you do? And one guy, the other day, you heard the story, one American man who carried a gun entered a place and began to shoot everybody. You know, in those countries, what we call civilized countries or advanced countries, whatever we call them, okay? One of the jobs that sell the most, all right, is the job of a psychiatrist. Yes. You know the reason? Life has a lot of troubles. Here we have pastors. You go and talk to your pastor. But when they don't go to church, the only person that listens is the psychiatrist or the clinical psychologist. And I think about that young man. Look at the other guy in Norway who took a gun and killed about 70-something people. What is the issue? The simple issue is that pressure comes in life. I'm telling you. And the man does not know where to carry his problems to. So what does he do? He's been watching films and guns are available. So he carries the gun and starts shooting everybody. Now, I'm going to emphasize something, all right? The ability to pray is one of the most important benefits we have as Christians. It relieves tension from our minds. It does. You know, one of the things you must learn as Christians, okay, is Ken Hagin said it then, that the Lord, that he had to repent of the sin of worry. And one of the things you must learn as a Christian is how not to worry. You must reject worry. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. If they tell you what will happen tomorrow, just say, I'm not going to think about it. When I get to that bridge, I will cross it. They say, you are not being realistic. I know. I don't want to be realistic. If I'm realistic, you will make me shoot somebody. I don't know whether you know what I mean by that. I cast my burdens upon the Lord. Don't let life put pressure on your head, though. And I know what I'm telling you. Let me give one of the, you know, did I tell you this gist? when people say that they can't sleep, I used to wonder, why can't you sleep? What's wrong with you? Why are you not sleeping? I used to wonder. Why will a woman tell me that he can't sleep? Why can't you sleep? My problem was to keep her awake. I don't know whether you understand what I'm going to explain. Yes. Literally, those days, of course, I was a much younger person. I wasn't married. I just didn't understand any problems in life. If I hit the bed by 11 o'clock, I'm dreaming by 11:05. Do you understand my point? Yes. If I hit the bed by 11 o'clock, 11:05, I'm dreaming. When I was a student, you know, of course, as a student, you have to read. And I was a Christian leader on campus, so we had a lot of other work to do. But I had a rule. 11 o'clock, I must be in my hostel, you know. Even though sometimes we have fellowship 8 to 10, I will just read briefly. And I can't remember for sure now. But, you know, I get to class, I get to the hostel. Compared to my classmates and other people who had the amount of work I had to do, I used to get there very early. So one day I got to the hostel. And of course, by the time I said to myself, 11:30, I'm asleep. When I got to the hostel, 11:30, I was not asleep. 12 o'clock, I was not asleep. 1 o'clock, I wasn't asleep. So I finally got up to do, maybe read something, just read something, lying down. Eventually, I fell asleep at 3 a.m. And, you know, I was concerned for what happened. Then finally, I now remembered what happened. On my way to class that evening, I stopped by in one of my friends' room, all right? And they were drinking coffee. Now, I didn't think about it. I just collected. So they were just, you know, just ordinary coffee with sugar, no milk, nothing. So boys were just drinking. Just pour hot water, put the granules inside, all right, and put sugar, just drink. So me too, I just got involved, not knowing that my system is not used to coffee. I drank it as if I was drinking just anything, you know, like water, a drink, nothing. I didn't think about it. When it was the usual time to sleep, I got up to go and sleep. You understand? I wasn't thinking about it. Except that I laid down and I could not sleep. It was after hours I now realized that, oh God, I drank coffee. I finally fell back to sleep around 3 o'clock. That's not important gist, all right? So what is important gist? This important side of it is that I used to sleep very well. So what are you talking about? Then one day, I would go to bed and realize that it was as if I was drinking coffee every night. I didn't think that this was one. That was 99. That was the year I got married. I was preparing to get married, you know. I was preparing, you know, trying to put everything together. And I wasn't worried. I didn't understand why should anybody worry. I don't worry. I thought. Except I would go and lie down. 10 minutes after lying down, I'm not asleep. 15 minutes after lying down, I'm not asleep. 1 hour after, I'm not asleep. 2 hours, in fact, until I remind myself, boy, you're supposed to be sleeping. That is when I actually start falling asleep. Sometimes it takes 2 full hours. And I was wondering, what's going on? Then it dawned on me what was going on. I was busy. Doing what? Thinking. I would lie down. I say, oh, John is supposed to produce cards. Cards, okay. How will John do it now? I'm supposed to give him 8,000 naira tomorrow. 8,000. Ah, 8. But if you remove 12 from 21, is that 8 or 9? No, but I'm already giving him 3. No. What I'm supposed to give him is 5. Ah, praise God, it's 5. It's not 8. You know? Okay, but even that 5, is it complete? I get up, check the drawer to be sure it is there. Then I did that for a few nights. And I thought I was waiting to fall asleep until I realized one day that that was what was keeping me awake. Listen to this. On the spot. I realized that I was worried. I wasn't feeling bad about it, though. I just realized this was worry. I still remember I said to myself, so this is what they call worry. I still remember very well. I said, this is what they call worry. I wasn't used to worrying. And when I began to worry, I did not know I was worrying. I thought I was just thinking. I thought I was just being responsible. I thought I was just planning. The fact was that I had begun to worry. And on the spot, I rejected worry. On the spot, I repented of worrying. And on the spot, I began to fall asleep on time again. Let's read the scripture again so that I'll say what I want to say. Philippians chapter. Remember what we said every time? We said it several times. Yeah? We said what we're trying to do is what? Create habits. Sorry, say it after me. Say habits. Say creating new habits. Yes, you need to. I wanted to repeat it so that we'll be saying the same thing. We'll be on the same frequency. And that's what this prayer thing is about. It's a habit. It's good to have prayer meetings. Amen. If you like, you can stay up all night. Amen? Okay. Apparently, most of you don't like staying up all night. So that was all right. But what I'm trying to explain, what I'm trying to emphasize, is a habit. The first two scriptures we read said what? One said, pray without ceasing. The other one said, the Lord was speaking that men ought always. What's the word? What's the word? Always. You see, that's one thing I want to emphasize. That's what I'm talking about today. The issue of without ceasing. You know what it means not to cease? It means never to stop. If you're driving, you're praying. You're in the bathroom, you're praying. You're about to eat, you're praying. You know, you're watching the news, you're praying. You've come for Bible study, you're praying. You are about to fall asleep, you're praying. You are sleeping, you are praying. You are waking up, you are praying. You know, it becomes, your whole life is prayer. Let me say this to you. Most Christians will pray with season. Both by season as in C-E-A-S-I, and then we also pray in some seasons. It is morning prayer, it is night prayer, and there's nothing in between. I have seen sometimes Christians, you know, emphasize the issue that, you know, Muslims are even better than us. They pray 5 times a day. They don't pray enough. If you can pray if you are praying 5 times a day, you're not praying enough. Is that your name? Because he said, pray without what? Ceasing. If you pray 5 times a day, you cease in between the 5 times. If he said men ought always to pray, if you pray five times a day, it's not always, it's some ways. It's certain ways. There are certain times of the day. What am I saying? Five times a day is not good enough. It's inferior to what God is teaching Christians. And you see it again. We just review some things we have said before. Let's just read Philippians chapter 4. I'm not going to emphasize something. That's why we are saying all of these things. The alwaysness, and I like to invent new words periodically, all right? The alwaysness in the prayer. The unceasing nature of Christian prayer. Let me just read this one to talk about this issue of worry again, just to conclude it. It said that in verse 7. Now let me just read verse 6 so we'll save time. He said, be anxious for nothing. What he was saying, don't worry. Amplify says, don't worry or have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, which surpasses all understanding. In fact, the literal word there says, which surpasses all mind, that is, people's ability to grasp what's going on. He said, that peace shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, please notice this. What he was saying is this. You will not try to be at peace. I was saying that Christians, all right, you can look up now. I was saying that Christians should reject the worry habit. Are you getting my point? What is a worry habit? It's called, now this is how it manifests. Worry is a spiritual principle, all right? We can only tell it by the manifestation. You want to know whether you are worrying? Let me tell you. You plan excessively. Yes, you think too much. Yes, you're always busy planning, always busy thinking. You want to know whether you are worried? You work 7 days a week, I mean. You want to know whether you are worried? Your phone doesn't go off at night. What if somebody wants to call you? I always say, are you the fire brigade or you are the police? And before GSM came, were people not calling you? Were problems not being solved? You are following what I'm going to explain. Your phone never goes off. It's a sign that you're a worrying man, you're a worrying woman. You save too much, you know, every money you have, you're always saving. That saving mustn't go down. You worry. I don't care whether you feel like it or you don't. You're a worrying man, you're a worrying woman. I am saving towards my wedding, you are worrying. Let me tell you, Christianity is hard truth, though. I'm saving towards my car, you are worrying. I'm saving towards my education, you are worrying. Oh, God. Say, Pastor Banky, this one I don't understand. That's why you came. If after you go to bed, intending to sleep, 15 minutes later you are not asleep yet, you have a worry habit. You just don't realize it. You say, I'm just like that. I don't sleep easily. Yes, you are just like that. You worry a lot. You don't realize it, though. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yes, because worry is a spiritual thing. You know, it's only by the manifestations of it that we will know it. And that's what I'm explaining to you. If you're always peeping to check what is going on outside, you worry too much. Amen? Amen? If you're always counting the number of shirts you have, you are worrying. The Lord is good. If you're always checking your balance, the credit balance in your phone, you are worrying. we'll say plenty today. The Lord is good. Listen. I know it's only one car you have. If you give somebody your car and you are calling him every 5 minutes to see how he's doing, you are worried too much. If nobody can ever drive your car but you, you worry. I don't trust anybody else to iron my shirt. You are a worrying man. Okay. You say, Pastor Mark, what are you talking about? Now you see, are you seeing what I'm saying? See? Yes. And then iron your shirt. What's the worst that will happen? They will burn it. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. By the way, if you see a man that worries too much, a woman that worries too much, don't take their things. The Bible said, don't eat the bread of a stingy man. But I'm not talking about them now. I'm talking about you. All right? I'm talking about... See, he's talking about me. Yes, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me, myself. All right? I'm talking to myself. It's very important. Some of the things I've told you, I do them. And as I'm preaching it, I'm hearing it. Have you heard that? You follow what I'm saying? Like, I look out a lot. And as soon as I said it, I realized that, oh boy, you worry too much. That's what it means. If you hear booze outside, sleep. I mean, it's not every time it concerns you. I'm telling you. I'm serious about that. Think about it. You think Jesus couldn't feel the boat shaking when men were running up and down, packing water, and he was still asleep. I don't know where I get my point. You know why? He was not worried. Listen, spiritual things are interesting. It wasn't that he was confessing, say, no, this storm, you won't wake me up. I'm the Son of God. You will not wake me up. As I'm sleeping right now, I shall continue sleeping. He didn't think about it. Now, if you're at that level, do it. Amen? If you want to wake up and say, no, storm, you will not wake me up. I'm a child of God. I want to sleep. Good. But these are spiritual things work. Okay, let me put it like this. This is what I said that will interest. I've given the illustration before. It interests you. Now, when I'm at home, and I used to wonder why my wife didn't used to bother doing some things. Maybe like it's night now. You want to go and sleep. Just to check whether somebody has locked the door, that kind of thing. Or maybe just check whether the kids are okay. You know, some things during the night. I used to wonder why my wife wouldn't even bother. Maybe I hear a child, you know, maybe crying, and I get up and go and check who's crying, that kind of thing. This is why you don't even hear. You are just asleep. Then one day, so I don't know how I found that. I now found that, you know, the only reason why she doesn't hear and she doesn't do it. You know, the only reason I'm around. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. I found out that the only reason is that this Mr. Husband is there. So unconsciously, she's lying down. And you hear two shots. I'll say, poam, poam. In the sleep, one eye will open, check whether I'm there. And if I'm there, she'll close again. That if somebody must check it, you go and check what is going on. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. I forgot how I found out that the only reason is because I'm there. If I could disappear, you know, I just vanish for a moment, and there was one noise, she would actually get up and check what the noise is about. Please, I don't know whether you are following me. Now, you know what's happening? It's an unconscious thing. It's an unconscious thing that casts your burden upon the husband. You didn't hear that? Cast your burdens upon the husband, for he careth for you, so you go and sleep. In the same manner as believers, when we cast our burdens upon the Lord and we are not worried, unconscious sleep, you sleep more than you will have thought about sleeping. It's not as if you are trying. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, in the case of Jesus Christ, it wasn't as if he was trying to remain asleep and show, let me show Peter and James and John, that as a Lord of the boat, you must be asleep in the midst of the storm. So he closed his eyes, don't wake up. No, he really was asleep. Why was he really asleep? Because he wasn't disturbed. Are you getting my point? He really was asleep. Somebody had to consciously tap him and shake him and say, Oga, wahala there outside now. How come you are sleeping this deeply? Now, I'm bringing an issue here. If we really, now, we read the scripture, okay? And that's how I want to refer to it, okay? When I say the peace of God shall, how did he say it again? The peace of God that passes all comprehension, that's New American Standard, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What it means is this. It's not as if I make up my mind to sleep some more. Are you getting my point? Once I identify that I have the worry habit, this is the antidote for the worry habit. What is the antidote? Continual prayer. I don't know whether I hear what I said. What is the antidote? I said Christians must reject that worry thing. You know, we've talked about the symptoms. Remember the symptoms? How many do we give? Maybe like 15 of them. All right? These are the symptoms. If you discover that you have that worry habit, the way to cure it is not, I shall not worry you. That is the first stage. all right, to cure. But the way to cure it, he said, how did he say it again? Be anxious for nothing, but, everybody say, but. What that means is that, you see, I said it to you all before, that the way God does it, if you read through the scriptures, when he's giving instructions and commandments, if he says, don't, look behind, there's always a do. Always check it. If he says, don't, you will just look around, you will see the do. And usually what he says is, do the do, then the don't will leave you alone. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. For example, he says, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. A lot of people are fighting the desires of the flesh. This flesh, I will show you that I am the spirit man, and I will put you under. Under you go, under you go. He didn't say so. He said, walk in the spirit. So instead of looking for how to, like we say, mortify the flesh and fight the flesh and, you know, like they used to do those days, do indulgences, you know. I've heard of sects that they're always punishing themselves. You know, you know, they do it a lot, still, I think in Asia. You'll be beating yourself, you know, injuring yourself. You know why? You want to punish the flesh. There is no way of walking in the spirit that is called beating yourself. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. There's no such way. Say, bring a blade, cut a hole in your stomach, and you'll be walking in the spirit. No. But the cure for walking in the flesh is what? Walk in the spirit. So what should a man do? What should a woman do when it comes to mortifying the deeds of the flesh? It's simple. Look for what it means to walk in the spirit. We're not discussing that one in details now, but it's simple. Number one thing about walking in the spirit is to constantly imbibe the word of God. Number two thing is to need to meditate day and night. That's the way it works. In fact, that's a good place to just connect to the point I was trying to make again. I said, the Lord doesn't just say don't. He always gives you what? They do. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But what's the next thing? But this is the do. You will meditate therein day and night. What does it mean to meditate therein day and night? To mutter, speak to yourself therein day and night. It is a proper and right thing for you to stay in the house and be doing what they call soliloquizing. Just be talking to yourself. Meditate doesn't mean think. No, thinking is hard. Let me explain what I'm saying. This kind of meditation, you know, as you are sitting down there trying to do your yoga and meditate, you don't say, James never called. You suppose don't call just now. Don't carry phone. They check whether James never called. But if you were talking, it's different. To meditate means to what? To talk. You mutter. You are talking to yourself. So he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt do what? Meditate therein day and night. What's the consequence? He said, this is a consequence. You will observe to do all that is written therein. It's a consequence. Again, what's the consequence of observing to do all that is written therein? You will make your way prosperous and have good success. There is a don't. But the don't is only affected by the do. So, what is the don't in this our discussion for today? The worry side. Don't. The worry side. Don't do the worrying. But it says like that. Do not be anxious for anything. But in everything. What did I call it? In everything. What did I say? What did I say? Or what did he say? In everything. From mosquito bites to suicide bombers. I don't know what I heard that. Yes, it's easy to not worry about flying because you really want to fly and you don't want to crash, amen? But you tend to forget about cockroaches that are disturbing you in the house. Hey, I gave cockroaches as an example because there was a time they worried me and they disturbed me. So, literally, I prayed. The Bible says what? In everything. So I prayed and said, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, why should this house have this amount of cockroaches? Many of you have been to my house. It's a very nice and decent house. It's not overpopulated. In fact, if you were to share houses equally, you know, rooms per head, I think I have more than my share. You know, I'm not explaining. Why do I have... Listen, I knelt down and I prayed. You know how God solved it? Listen to this. Then I had an idea. I said, okay, let me go and buy. Of course, I bought the normal things. Buy insecticide. I had cans of this, cans of that. Okay, somebody said, okay, go and buy powder. This white powder and sprinkler. And the day I wanted to do the white powdering and sprinkling, Yinka happened to come to my house that day with Tolu. And Tolu happens to be either an entomologist or zoologist or one of the above. And he happens to know cockroaches very well. He just said to me simply, he just looked around. He said, they must be coming in from the soakaway or something like that. That's really where they hide. So like the summary of all this one you are doing, spraying this, you are just seeing the ones that have come out. The real substance is hidden. In everything. Somebody say in everything. It's not only in big things, it's in everything. Literally everything. There are times I see maybe those days when fuel scarcity used to be an issue. You understand? I just didn't have some kinds of patience. I didn't have it. To go and queue up for 4 hours in the filling station. So why don't you park the car and take a bus? I mean, 4 hours? No. How long will I drive the fuel that I use 4 hours to buy? I said, I want to buy. Say, in everything. And we pray about fuel also. And the Lord always supplied fuel. Let me say something to you again. You know, I told you before that Ken Hagin said something that the Lord said to him that Christians don't pray, they complain a lot. Yes, they don't pray most of the times. What do? They complain. You know, there was something the Lord Jesus said that when we were reading. He said that Luke chapter 18, right? All right, in verse 8, he said, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Anyway, that's what this whole teaching is about, to build up faith in the hearts of people. Let me say it again. God can heal all kinds of diseases. Did I hear an amen? From mosquito bite to cancers. Did I hear an amen? Yes. From simple allergies to serious neurological degenerations and malignant neoplasms. You're looking for big words to make things sound difficult. That's the idea. Just to let people understand that God can tackle everything. You know, let me tell you another thing about prayer. Sometimes we pray when we think we can think out how it will work. But that's actually not what prayer is. Prayer is to be sure that we are not sure how he will do it. But at least let us commit it into his hands. If he brings ideas on how he will do it, fine. I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. He said, pray without what? Ceasing. You know, I said something to us before. Life is a battle of what? Words. Life is a battle of words. Like I said earlier, on Saturday I'll begin to, if I had to restrain myself from not preaching that thing today, so we can do it in a proper series and have it recorded so we can put it on TV, all right? Talking about this issue of I'll title it Understanding the Prophetic, all right? What I want to preach in that, okay, let me just give you a small preview. Because I read the scriptures, he's laughing. I read the scriptures, all right? I used to study the prophets a lot, all right? In recent years, I take time out and study the prophets, you know? Isaiah, Jeremiah, then Ezekiel, and all those, Daniel, Hosea, Zephaniah, Nahum, Habakkuk, you know, all of those people, you know, down to Malachi. And recently I began to get confused. You'll be surprised. Total confusion. And my confusion was worsened by what I see a lot of my brethren preach on television. A lot of our brethren from North America, and the political side of their Israeli relationship affecting the doctrinal output of the church. Or I don't know which was affecting what. Anyway, but something just happened recently. I understood something again, that even the prophecies of Isaiah, all right, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that they declared, which appeared like certainty, that people so tried to ascribe to what's going on in Middle East.
I realized that the song the Bible says, the word preached does not profit until it is mixed with faith. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That the word preached does not profit until it is mixed with faith. And I realized another thing. Listen to this. What's the other thing? And that's the fact that he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. That is, the word preached came to the people that it appeared directed to, they did not receive it. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power, I'm paraphrasing now, to inherit those promises. You know what I found out? Don't be deceived. Somebody read something for you and say, Isaiah said this about Judah, about Jerusalem. And then he points to the land they are fighting over. You understand? Between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Don't worry your soul. You know why? He can read it from now till tomorrow. Until those who want to claim it, that land, claim that prophecy, it's ineffective. And because as a nation, they reject, people don't understand that those guys rejected those prophecies. As a nation. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, even though he's in Enugu, or she's in Abakiliki, or is in Lusaka, are you getting my point? Or is in the Monrovia, wherever they are, including the heart of China, those words will form manifestations around them. So if you read that the desert will yet blossom, that is talking about your life, it will yet blossom. Even though it appeared to have been directed at a strip of land, somewhere in the Middle East. I don't know whether you get my point. Man, the thing is true, because for a while I've been watching and reading and trying to contemplate. Then the Holy Spirit just let me understand, oh boy, look this way. The word preached never profits until it is mixed with faith in them that hear it. Are you getting what I want to explain? Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. I'm saying something here, all right? And this is why I went into that. And that's the fact that when we're talking about praying without ceasing, one of the things I'm going to discuss is the issue of prayer in bringing forth prophetic words to manifestation. Poor Jonah. That was what I discussed in that message. Please, listen to this. You know, life is what? A battle of words. And this is what I'm talking about. If God gives a prophetic word like that, it's a plan. Somebody say it's a plan. It's a desire, it's his will. But Jesus had to teach, pray like this, thy will be done. If it was going to be automatic, are you getting my point? That prayer would not have been necessary. I don't know whether I hear what I said. If the will of God would have been done automatically, then the prayer would not have been necessary for him to say, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Believe me. And we'll talk about that later. I'm just going to bring out the issue of continual prayer there. It's a battle of words. Every time, if the Lord stirs up a desire in your heart, or something you find from the recorded word of God, or the nation, circumstances around you, go in a direction different from that which you believe, all right, is the will of God, or which is the deep desire of your righteous heart. Do you follow? Now listen, I've said this many times. He said men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. What does that mean? When they start praying, the effects don't always show up quickly. And that's why he had to tell them not to lose heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? So let's put it like this now. So that prophetic word is what you desire. What do I mean by that prophetic word? That ideal life, ideal situation where things are not going wrongly. You are not falling sick recklessly. The things that you are putting your hands to do, they are not being destroyed. You understand? You are prospering in all that you do. And that's what the word of God says. The word preached, don't forget, has to meet faith in their heart before it profits them. So he said that in all that he does, he prospers. That's the word you are trying to lay claim on.